Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text from today is the epistle from the book of Galatians. Do songs from television commercials ever get stuck in your mind? They certainly do for me. I frequently catch myself sort of mindlessly singing lyrics from all those commercials. And recently, I found myself singing the lyrics from what I believe is the Chase credit card commercial. It goes like this. Well, I'm free to do what I want any old time. And you know, as I was mindlessly singing those lyrics, it suddenly hit me and I thought to myself, that's not true. It's not true that we're free to do what we want any old time. Even though I might be out of tune as I sing the lyrics are certainly in tune with what the vast majority of people in this country imagine freedom to be. Though dangerous and destructive to our Christian faith and life, the lyrics from this commercial reflect how most people live these days. And they express how many of us think. We think, well, I'm free to do what I want any old time. But we're not. For even the freest person on earth is still subject to God's law and accountable to his judgments. Later this week, we will all celebrate the 4th of July. The 4th of July is more than a paid holiday. It's more than an opportunity for family and friends to gather outside on lawns for barbecues and fireworks displays. Some have forgotten that the 4th of July is Independence Day. On the 4th of July, we commemorate our nation's Declaration of Independence from the political, the religious, and the economic tyranny that was once imposed upon our people by the English monarchy. However, Independence Day commemorates more than just our freedom from 18th century British rule. But we celebrate our determination as a free and democratic people to remain free from every form of human tyranny. The Declaration of Independence laid the groundwork for the U.S. Constitution that would ensure freedom for all citizens of these United States. And so freedom is a treasured concept among Americans, and it's the reason we celebrate the 4th of July. Freedom is a great thing, and yet you and I know that freedom can be abused. And freedom is abused whenever we start thinking or singing, well, I'm free to do it as I want any old time. Unfortunately, we've all seen freedom greatly abused in our American culture. Today, we see every possible form of sexual deviancy and moral perversion and human indecency hiding behind the protections of our Constitution in a way never intended by our founding fathers. We're constantly exposed to blasphemous and irreverent and irreligious and hate-filled and seditious words in both media and print that would threaten to undermine the moral fabric of our society. And these are all promoted under the guise of freedom of speech and protection under the First Amendment. The democratic principle of separation of church and state, originally invented to protect the church from the state, now functions in reverse as a kind of buffer to protect the secular state from any Christian influences by the church. The voice of the gospel proclaimed by the church has all but been silenced in the public square, and we have been relegated to the private sphere of human opinion. These days, in the name of freedom, evolution, and homosexuality, other world religions, and even elements of the occult are found being taught in public schools across our great land, but not Christianity. We see sexually active women who abort their unwanted babies almost at whim, declaring that they have freedom over their bodies and the right to choose death for their unborn children, and this too is protected under a Supreme Court decision. And we see big businesses and corporations operating technically inside the law and using the law to shield their dubious business practices so that they immorally profit off of others in a way which, while technically not illegal, is at the very least unethical. Yes, many have reinterpreted why our founding fathers, as the architects of American freedom, articulated the ideas that would lead to a democratic society. Our forefathers, you see, did not want government to ever be able to tyrannize its citizens, nor rob us of treasured freedoms. But they did not envision how we modern Americans would end up tyrannizing the very concept of freedom as we take it captive to our own sinful desires and declare our independence not only from helping others, but also by becoming autonomous from God. The framers of the Declaration and the Constitution never imagined the many ungodly excesses and immoral extremes which Americans would go to, all in the name of freedom. They never imagined that anyone would think, "Well, I'm free to do what I want any old time." Even with all its abuses, the freedoms that we Americans enjoy are still remarkable. And you know, we don't marvel so much that men like John Adams or Thomas Jefferson could envision a free and democratic society. What we marvel at is that they could create one, a society that has endured for over 200 years. Of course, as Christians, we know this only was accomplished by the gracious hand of God. And as Americans, we invoke that word freedom a lot these days, without properly understanding that even political freedom and personal freedoms do have boundaries and limits. We talk about the freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution. And as Christians, I suppose we are especially grateful to God for the religious freedom that we presently enjoy in the United States. And yet, my friends in Christ, there is a higher freedom, the freedom of the Christian's conscience. For only God and no government can truly set the heart free in Christ. And that's why, as American Christians, our hearts resonate when we hear a text like we do today from Galatians, where the apostle gives a kind of declaration of freedom for the Christian conscience. Because we understand what is at stake. As Christians, we understand just how precious freedom is in the earthly realm. And so how much more precious is freedom in the spiritual realm? When American patriots signed the Declaration of Independence, they put their lives on the line and they were ready to pay for the cost of freedom with their blood. In the same way, our Lord Jesus purchased our spiritual freedom with his blood. And so in today's lesson from Galatians, Paul tells Christians to stand firm in this freedom that we have in Christ. Let no one rob you of the confidence that you have in Christ. Let no one enslave your conscience ever again. In the verses that are omitted from the text, verses 2 to 12, Paul explains that our freedom and our forgiveness from judgment was accomplished by Christ entirely, and not by any works or any efforts that you and I could ever do to please God. Paul warns that we will lose that freedom purchased by Christ, and Christ will do us no good if we listen to others who attempt to convince us that beyond Christ, we must meet additional religious expectations imposed upon us by others. For we stand firm in this belief that Christ alone justifies us and sets us right with God without our works. What that means is that Christ has freed you from guilt and from any need for dreadful expectation or anticipation of God's impending judgments. Christ accomplished your freedom from guilt by atoning for your sins on the cross. And so no longer can sin or death or fear or devil or grave or guilt tyrannize you or take away that freedom which you as a Christian possess in your conscience. You see, through faith in Jesus, we are free from the condemnation of the law. We are free from the eternal consequences of our sins. And that spiritual freedom is a precious treasure. Paul asserts that it is a treasure that we should let no one take from us. And yet Paul will go on to explain that we must never turn this freedom into our excuse to be sinners. You see, there is a dangerous misinterpretation of the gospel that I believe is growing more and more prevalent among modern Christians. There are many these days who, while they think of themselves as Christians, assume that if you profess Christ, you can do anything you want. They pretty much think, well, I'm free to do what I want any old time. Well, while it's wonderfully true that Christians are totally free in Christ from the condemnation caused from our rebellion against God, from breaking his laws, it's not true that you and I are autonomous beings, independent of God and free to do as we please without any respect for God or for his laws. In fact, in Galatians 5, Paul uses the strongest warnings. He says that those who think they're Christians but live like this, constantly indulging in sinful desires, will not inherit the kingdom of God, irrespective of whether they consider themselves to be Christians or not. And so, simply put, you simply will not get into heaven by believing, well, I'm free to do what I want any old time. This idea that Christ has freed us to do whatever we want, it's not a Christian belief, it's a cultural belief. If you think that you don't have to listen to God's word, that you do not have to accept the admonition of your parents or your pastors, that you do not have to listen to the voice of your Christian conscience, then you probably either are not a Christian or will not be one for very long. Many have mistaken the freedom of forgiveness promised by Christ, the freedom that restores our relationship to God, as freedom from God. But that's not what Christian freedom is. Christian freedom does not mean, well, I'm free to do what I want any old time. You see, Christ did not free us from God in order to get God off our back so that we could go on living as we were living and doing what we wanted in our lives without repentance or any spiritual change. Christ did not make you autonomous from God, but by his atoning sacrifice, he intends to bring you back to God, that you might live under God and serve God in a freedom and in an innocence regained and restored for you by Christ. There is a growing dangerous, demonic, destructive trend among us Christians to sin with premeditation. There are far too many Christians out there these days who plan out their sins and who premeditate that they are going to sin with the intention that I will sin now and ask God for forgiveness later. They view Christ's forgiveness won upon the cross as a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card that they'll use each time after they sin. And so they engage in horrible acts of the sinful nature, the acts listed in Galatians 5. They engage in sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy and fits of rage. They create rivalries between people and dissensions and divisions. They envy. They go to orgies. And they do this without a guilty conscience because they have been taught by our culture to believe, well, I'm free to do what I want any old time. Far too many Christians do these things believing that they will simply ask for forgiveness from Christ after their sinful lust has been fully satisfied, and the opportunity to repent never comes. What if you're merely giving lip service and saying you're sorry for these sins that you secretly enjoy, and then you go on to repeat them over and over again? What if true repentance never occurs and never brings about godly change? What if false security sets in and you begin to believe that if you believe in Jesus, well, I'm free to do what I want any old time? You see, people who continually sin this way by premeditation cannot remain Christians very long. If we continue in this pattern, we will never see the kingdom of heaven. You cannot constantly just live and sin and do as you please and then comfort yourself with the thought that afterwards you can get God to forgive you later. This is a satanic lie and distortion about what Christian forgiveness is. For those who live by faith, who have truly embraced Christ's forgiveness, and who enjoy this new freedom of conscience, it is true that we sin, but we sin almost accidentally. We're not anxious to sin, we struggle against it. And certainly we don't believe that Christian freedom entitles us to sin. Christ freed our conscience from the tyranny of sin and death and guilt and devil. Christ freed us from death to live a new life. But Jesus did not free us from God or from following God's word or his will or his laws. It is a gross distortion of the gospel if we begin to believe that little jingle, "Well, I'm free to do what I want any old time." Christians, you have been freed from the condemnation of the law. You are free from sin, but you are not free to sin. So the question comes, how free are we in Christ? Paul says it this way. He says, "Though I am free and am bound to no man's conscience, I make myself a slave to everyone." Luther echoed Paul and said, "A Christian is totally free. On the one hand, through faith, he is subject to no one else's opinion of him when it comes to his relationship to God in heaven. But at the same time, a Christian serves all and is a servant to all and is subject to all out of love as long as he or she lives upon this earth." In our relationship to God in heaven, it is the verdict of faith alone in Christ that rules and declares us forgiven and free in Christ. But according to love, we are bound to serve our neighbor. Finally, only Christ's judgments matter, and he has acquitted us from all charges by his death on the cross. And yet, in our relationship to men and women on earth, love must rule us. Love obligates us to have compassion on others and to consider the feelings of everyone. And so in Christian love, what we do is we set aside our Christian freedom momentarily and we bind ourselves to others and we care for our neighbor as we are called to serve them. We also set aside for the moment the eternal freedom we are destined to enjoy with Christ in heaven. And we let love obligate us just as Christ let love obligate him when he died for us on the cross. Again, my friends, our culture has greatly confused the concept of freedom. But Christian freedom actually is intended to make us close to God, not to give us some kind of autonomy from God that pushes us away from God. The gospel is simply this, that Christ has forgiven you. He has freed you to serve your God again with a good conscience and to enjoy his blessings forever. But that is not what our culture preaches. Our culture preaches cultural autonomy that says, "Well, I'm free to do what I want any old time." As Christians, however, we do not consider it a loss of freedom to serve the God who freed us from our sins with his blood. In fact, we're grateful to God that by his grace he shares with us his Spirit, and that his Spirit creates in us this fruit that serves God. For Christian freedom is not our isolation from God or our independence from God or our autonomy from God. Christian freedom is serving God in a good conscience. People are mistaken if they think that true freedom is simply that you are free to do what you want any old time. That is not freedom. Freedom is to live for Christ and to serve him who loved us and who gave himself for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.